It's certainly great to see you this morning. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at the Azalea City Church of Christ today. As was mentioned earlier, if you are visiting with us, you are indeed very special to us. We appreciate you being a part of our services today. We want everybody to come back and be here as many times as possible. Also, we'd like to thank our members for being here today. It's certainly great to have you all with us, and I'm excited about our church family. I'm excited about how God's blessed us. I'm excited about how God is going to keep leading us in directions, and great things are going to keep happening. I do want to say it's great to see Sister Sarah Andrews here today. She has been recovering from her knee replacement surgery, and we're thankful that she is able to be with us today. So, sister, it's great to see you. Great to have you with us. We've been talking about together, who is Jesus Christ? If this is a day that you're visiting with us and you haven't been here the last several weeks, just to kind of recap where that was based out of, we're teaching the book of Colossians in the fellowship hall class on Wednesday nights, and Paul spent a lot of time talking to the church at Colossae in the first portion of his letter there, chapter 1 as we call it, talking about who Jesus is, talking about how Jesus is more than really what meets the eye, more than what we even understand. And so that being said, it got me to thinking about the Old Testament, who God is, and who God told Moses there at the burning bush, or when Moses was about to go to Pharaoh. Of course, God reminds him that he wanted him to go to Pharaoh, and then when Moses is trying to argue that, trying to discuss what's going on and what he should say and really talk himself out of doing it, he basically asked the question, who will I say sent me? And of course, God tells them, you tell him the I am sent you. And so then you fast forward all these thousands of years to the New Testament, and we see Jesus Christ, especially in the book of John, we have a lot of these I am statements, right? That Jesus reminds his disciples, he reminds other groups of people, he reminds us today and the world as we know it, and in the future we'll know it. He reminds them of exactly who he is. And so we've been going through these I am statements, if you will, and talking about them. Now, we didn't go through all seven, but we are going to conclude this series of lessons today as we get to the one that really, when it gets down to it, it's the nuts and bolts of who we've got to understand Jesus is. Of course, we started with Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. But today we're going to conclude with Jesus being the resurrection and the life. And so, as we study today, I want to remind you of a song that's near and dear to me and maybe near and dear to y'all. Listen to the words of this song. Man of Sorrows. What a name. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah! What a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah! What a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven, exalted high, hallelujah, what a Savior. When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransomed home to bring, Then anew His song will sing. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Who is Jesus? According to Jesus Christ Himself, in what Bo read to us just a moment ago, in John 11, verse 25, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. This verse that we pull up out of this context comes to us from the context of Lazarus being raised from the dead. To me, this is such a significant story in the life of Jesus, because this is the miracle that proves to those around Him the power of Jesus Christ. Now listen, folks, Jesus had power. He had made lame to walk and blind to see, and He had done all kinds of amazing things. He told the adulterous woman that her sins were forgiven. He had them all leave without casting rocks at her that day. He told the woman at the well everything about her. He revealed Himself to her when He said, "I am He. I am the Messiah." He had done all these things. He preached that great sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, that reminds us of things that we still struggle with all these 2,000 years later. That's why He's the greatest teacher of all. It's very applicable throughout all time. We could go on and on about the parables, about the teachings, about the prayers, about the walking on the water, all that. But it's this miracle that not only convinced those around Him, His disciples and Mary and others, but it convinced His enemies that this man is different. This man is someone different, someone special, someone that is awesome and amazing. It convinced His enemies so much that after this, they plot to kill Him. But you see, you can't kill the resurrection, and you can't kill the life. Today, maybe you're here and you feel like your life as you know it is dead. Oh yes, you have air in your lungs and you're able to breathe and your heart's able to beat. But maybe you feel like your life has no direction, it has no hope, it has no meaning. In other words, you feel for all aspects of it except the breathing and the heart beating, you feel like your life is dead. Well, I want to encourage you today that your life doesn't have to stay that way. You see, your life and my life, it may sleep from time to time, but there's going to come a point, as Jesus said in John 11, verse 11, "I will awaken you." He's talking about Lazarus. I will awaken him. But today, the resurrection and the life, that's who Jesus is, can wake you up spiritually. And it's been my prayer that if today there is someone here who is not yet awakened spiritually, that you will allow the resurrection and the life to do that. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to John 11. In order to understand exactly who Jesus is, we need to go through this story. We need to spend time reading the text here about Lazarus and his family. Beginning in verse 1, John chapter 11. "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent to Him saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.'" Now let's pause for a moment. We're going to get to verse 35, right? We know what happens in that verse. Jesus wept. I want you to know that I believe Jesus wept because of things like verses 1 through 3. Here's why I believe Jesus wept and it bothered him so. Because he had a choice to make. He knew Mary and Martha. I mean, let's face it, Mary loved Jesus. She took that expensive oil, she broke it open, she washed his feet and wiped them with her hair, anointing him to death. She loved Jesus, and Jesus loved Mary. Jesus loved Martha, and Jesus loved Lazarus. And he knew that they were going to hurt, and he knew the pain, but he knew he had to let Lazarus die. Could he have healed Lazarus? Yes. Jesus could have blinked his eye, he could have snapped his finger, he could have wiggled his toes, he wiggled his ears, he could have done it any way he wanted, and Lazarus would have gotten well. Do not miss that point. This is God in the flesh, that's who we're talking about. He could have kept Lazarus from dying, but there's something much deeper he had to prove. That he is the resurrection and the life. Verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, "The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, I believe that probably went right over their heads, but you don't miss the point today. All of this happened so that we today can understand exactly who Jesus Christ is. Verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Now see, if you're reading that verse and you don't truly understand what's happening, you think, well, if he loved them so much, why didn't he run back to them? He loved them so much to prove that he was the resurrection and the life that he stayed 2 more days so that Lazarus could die. You see, folks, I know to most people that doesn't make sense, but we're not talking about most people. We're talking about the Son of God. Verse 7, then after this he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you are going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." These things he said. And after that, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." You see, folks, that's what it's all about. Why did our Savior leave and come to earth below? Why did our Savior leave the splendor of heaven? Why did He leave the right hand of the Son of God? Why did He, God, become flesh and dwell among us? Because we were asleep and we needed to be awakened. Today, as we continue in this sermon, we need to ask ourselves, am I still sleeping or am I spiritually dead? Because we sit at the feet of the resurrection and the life. Today is the day that God wants us to wake up. In order to better understand Jesus is, we got to understand the consequences. We got to understand the context. We got to understand the clues that are laid out before us. The first thing we need to understand about our lives, about Christ's life, about Lazarus's life, is that sometimes we are confined. Sometimes we are confined by sin, right? So let's face it, folks, the devil is good at what he does. I'm sad to admit that. I'm sorry to admit that. But I think we have to understand how exactly good he is. He convinced the man who for 3 straight years went with Jesus everywhere he went. He saw Jesus walk on water. He saw Jesus take Bartimaeus and make him be able to see. He saw Jesus talk down the Pharisees. He saw Jesus heal lame men, leprous men, and others. He saw Jesus take a few pieces of bread and a few fish and feed thousands of people with plenty to spare. This same man sat at a table where Jesus knew he was his enemy and he broke bread with him. You see, Satan got into the heart of Judas. Judas saw Jesus resurrect Lazarus. But at the end of the day, the devil convinced Judas to die spiritually. If you think it can't happen to you and it can't happen to me, then we underestimate the power of Satan. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against powers and principalities and the darkness and rulers of this age. That's why we must surrender everything to the resurrection and the life. The only solution to overcoming death is the resurrection and the life. That's why we get confined by sin. Sometimes we get confined by life, life circumstances. I don't believe people slip into a spiritual darkness on purpose for the most part. I believe it's like a little bit of an infection. Sometimes we see that infection and maybe we don't see it. Maybe it's an infection on the inside of our bodies. And maybe it's a red spot or something and we ignore it and we ignore it and we ignore it, and then ultimately it's rotting us from the inside out. You see, that's how Satan slips through the door. Sometimes it's life circumstances. Well, I got to work a little extra. I got to earn a little extra money. Maybe it's just because my kids are this one time are going to be involved in this sport or this activity or this whatever, and we're going to miss just a few Sundays here and there, and we'll get back and we'll be fine. You know what? I don't really feel that good today, so I'm not going to read today. The next day, oh, I got a little bit busy. I'm not going to read. We could say the same thing about our prayer life. We could say a lot of things, but that's how it happens. And then we wake up one day and we realize I'm confined by sin. Lazarus was confined by death. You see, he was confined by that tomb. Jesus was also confined by a tomb. When they took him off the cross, he was dead. As a man, his heart had quit beating. His lungs could no longer provide oxygen. His blood and water had separated from one another. When they pierced his side, he was dead. No reason to break his legs. He couldn't breathe anymore, so they took him off the cross. And Joseph of Arimathea, a borrowed tomb, they put him in and they lay him in there. They roll a stone, like that was going to keep him in. They rolled a stone in front of him because they had killed and confined Jesus Christ. But oh, they didn't realize. He's the resurrection and the life. Today, we've got to realize who He is. If it's sin confining us, if it's life confining us, if it's a spiritual death confining us, we must obey the resurrection and the life. Secondly, this morning, sometimes the devil just makes us confused. The disciples were confused. Go back to the text now, John chapter 11, beginning in verse 9 now. I know we read this a moment ago. We're going to go through verse 15 this time. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." These things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well." I mean, that makes sense, right? What happens when I don't feel good, you don't feel good, or somebody doesn't feel good? Oh, we just need to rest. Doctor says, go home and rest. Take your medicine and rest. Lord, if he's sick, he sleeps, he's going to feel better. Verse 13, however, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in his sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, I love this, Lazarus is dead. You didn't pick up what I was putting down, did you? Lazarus is not sleeping, guys. He's dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. They were confused. You know why they were confused? Because they didn't know who Jesus was. Oh, they knew who Jesus was, Terry. No, they didn't. They didn't truly know who Jesus was. In fact, yes, they had walked with Him. Yes, they had lived with Him. Yes, they had fed thousands with Him. Yes, they had seen Him walk on water. Yes, all those things we talked about, they saw those things. But it is this occurrence where He says here, John reminds us, Jesus said, I'm glad for your sakes I was not there that you may believe. Believe what? That I have the power to resurrect your soul. It's chill bump type moments for me, folks. So if you think for one moment that you can worship and that's it once in a while, that you can read once in a while, pray once in a while, and know exactly who Jesus is, I take you back to the disciples. They were with Him a whole lot more than once in a while. You see, what happens when I just have a little bit of Jesus in my life and a lot of world in my life? I get confused. You know why? Because darkness and light can't coexist. You ever notice when you're on fire from God, some of your worldly friends kind of distance themselves? Because darkness and light can't coexist. You see, that's just the way it is. What happens when you've got a little bit of light and a lot of darkness? You've got confusion. You've got chaos. The disciples were confused. Doesn't mean that they were bad people, but they just didn't get it. They just didn't understand what He was teaching. If they didn't understand it about Lazarus, they certainly didn't understand it about who Jesus was. And He tells them, I'm doing this so that you will believe. Why is He going to weep? Because He had to let Lazarus die. And it hurt Him. The human side of Him hurt. It crushed Him for Martha and for Mary. But He did it so that they would believe. And the confusion would be clarity. Is your life confused? Is your life chaos? Maybe it's because you haven't truly accepted the resurrection and the life. Thirdly, this morning, what else happens when we try to understand who Jesus is? Sometimes we're criticized. Look at John 11, verse 17. So when Jesus came, He found that He had already been in the tomb, that's Lazarus, had already been in the tomb 4 days. You know what Jesus is doing? He's letting him can be convinced to the other people that he's dead. That it's not a trick. That it's not some kind of magic out there. He let Lazarus begin to decompose. Verse 18. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now there's a crowd there. How convenient, right? Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Before we beat them up too much, I get it. Jesus understood it too. He knew they were going to be hurt. He knew they were going to be upset. He knew they were going to be heartbroken and mad at Him because He was the one that they trusted that could keep Him from dying. But Jesus had to let Him die. And He had to let these days go by. So He's fully prepared for this, folks. Martha, verse 21, said to Jesus, Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died. In other words, I sent for you. Why did You let him die? But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Now let's pause for a moment. Martha was a pretty smart lady. She got probably more about what Jesus was talking about than the disciples did. Because she says right here something very, very wise. I know that He will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. It's the same thing we say at funerals, right? When we know that somebody has died in the Lord, we say, we are sad today, but we will see them again. Because in the last days, our family member will rise again. And Martha got it. She said, I know I'm going to see Him again. As hurt as I am, I know what you're saying. He's going to rise again because I'm going to see Him one day in heaven. But she didn't fully understand what Jesus was talking about. Because it's right here where He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in Me shall never die. Do you, Martha, believe this? We could criticize Jesus, and some probably have. Why, God, why, Jesus, did You let this happen? You could have prevented it. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and You could have stopped it. You could have done this the same thing Martha was. But folks, do we really realize who Jesus Christ is? Who are You, Jesus? I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you, Azalea City Church of Christ, believe this? Finally, this morning, two words changed history. Did it change Martha's life? Yes. Did it change Mary's life? Yes. Did it change Lazarus's life? Yes. But it changed history. Those words are come forth. John 11, let's conclude it now, 38 through 44. Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. Remember, he's wept at this point. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Very symbolic, right? Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Part of Jesus' plan. Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. Do not miss this. But because of the people who are standing by," I would also suggest that we could say, are the people who read this thousands of years later, "I said this that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave cloths, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Lazarus, come forth. There was a moment in his own tomb when the same words could be said, "Jesus, come forth." There comes a point in my life when he says, "Terry, come forth." It comes a point in your life when he's begging you to come forth too. Lazarus could. You can. I can. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See all the portholes. He's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Come home. Come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home. Because he is risen, we can be risen. It's time to come forth. It's time to come home. Let's do it right now together. We stand and sing.